Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? Guys, age!
You want a cup of Jawa juice?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Barstool. Jeff Dooley, Ken Jackson, Gooch. And yes, you're reading that title correctly. Not a trick. This is our final podcast episode after 6 years?
Six years or so. Yeah.
Jesus. We hate movies now. We hate theaters. We hate movies.
We're done with it.
Ken Jack texted me today. He's like, dude, I fucking hate movies, dude. No. So here, we'll keep it short and sweet. Obviously, Trill left the podcast like 2 years ago now. Maybe a year and a half ago. I forget. Time all merges together. By the way, we are doing a podcast today. We're doing Wonka. We're doing news. We're going to end it, and we're doing a draft to end it. That obviously was a huge blow for us. The podcast started, this is not an offense to Gooch. It's been great to have Gooch, but losing Trill was obviously a massive hit for the podcast. Tried to change some things up and do some different things. Out of that came the bracket. Great show, not going anywhere.
And kind of a dozen too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Thank God for that old pandemic. I can make that joke because my
millions of people died.
Allowed to make that joke. it's like, all right, so like that's where we are now. So we didn't like what was happening. We haven't really lost our listenership. We just haven't really gained a ton. We hit a wall. I'm sure we made some errors along the way in terms of how we wanted to do it. Honestly, probably should have gotten the video a lot sooner, but it is what it is. It's been a great run, great ride, but at this point, the juice not fully worth the squeeze. We're still going to do movie stuff. I am very deep personally in, and I'm bringing these guys in very soon, in reviving our website, which I care a lot about. We will still be on social media. We will still be very active movie stuff, probably more so in that case, because that's kind of where it is right now. Like just where we are and where this is and the podcast landscape. And there's some very successful movie podcasts and shows on YouTube. And YouTube has grown a little bit, but it just hasn't. We just haven't had the pop that we wanted to with the change. The change worked very minimally. We didn't lose anything, but it just isn't worth the squeeze at this point. So we're going to focus our efforts all on social and not do a long form pod anymore. I'm sure some people are upset and disappointed and mad. It just kind of is where it is at this point. Sometimes you got to make the tough business call. So that's where we stand. We're not going anywhere. We do not hate movies.
Jeff, the Garfield cock and balls are going to be drawn on your driveway in the morning.
I know, it's tough.
I think the thing to understand too is like a lot of people be like, oh, why don't you just pivot over to YouTube? Like YouTube is such a monopolistic like kind of space where like if you aren't one of the top two people talking about movies, you are drowned out by the noise. And we can never be just the way we are. We can never be the first to anything. We can never be any of those things. It's like it's just a very difficult space to grow now.
And a lot of like some of the best reviewers that I watch and listen to too and stuff like that, they're just they're not really like popping that much. Like they don't have great stuff. There's some really good ones and they are not going anywhere. And so, you know, we're gonna do our best to try to find some new avenues and spaces, but the long form podcast is not that for us anymore. So yes, if you like short formed content, great, good for you. If you don't, I'm very sorry. But we are very appreciative of all the listeners. Because I'll tell you what, we haven't lost people. We just haven't grown at a rate that makes, again, worth the effort in spades. And we have other things and other shows going on that make money and do some things. So it's been a great passion project. Got us to where we are now. It turned into a job. And so that's that. That's that on that. But we're going to have one more podcast here. Again, if you're angry at us, this is one of the few times where I'm like, yeah, that's fair. I'll never be as angry as the time they thought we hated The Office, though.
People still think that. People were really mad about
we were crapping on The Office for a little while.
They still think that. There is a very wide portion of listeners that still believe that we hate The Office.
I do. I mean, I am rewatching it right now because I do it every once in a while. I hate Andy Bernard. I hate
him. Really? I come around on the Nard Dog.
I would love to have a documentary about that show and see who gets to make the decisions week to week and decide what level of stupidity or borderline special needs they make Kevin in the office. Because there's some episodes you're like, you know what? Kevin is reasonable here. Kevin is dumb, but he's kind of funny. And then there's episodes you're like, this is weird. Obviously, there's the whole storyline where Holly thinks he's like he is special needs. But then there's sometimes where you're like, he's not even a human being at this point. Like, he's from another planet. And there's episodes where I'm like, and it's so inconsistent and it gets very noticeable. But that's been my current rewatch. I still hate Andy, though. I hate Andy.
I have, and I had this store for a while. This is our original pitch to Barstool for LCB. It's kind of funny to look back on it. Let's see. Podcast name. By the way, this is the original podcast name before it was LCB or LCP. Critical Thinking. Remember that one? Hmm? It was supposed to be. Yeah. It was originally named Critical Thinking.
You're just the liberal version of Critical Drinker.
This is, I guess, even before that. Or what was the other ones? Let's All Go to the Movies was going to be one of them. LAGTM. Yep. We were like, yeah, that's a cool acronym. And it's like, God, these are so bad. Like, all these segment ideas are so stupid.
And it is funny that you can tell there's still podcast acronyms, so I'm not saying that doesn't exist anymore, but it is funny, like, we came up in like the podcast acronym era where it was almost more important, like the name was kind of like irrelevant. Like if you had like a football podcast, PMT, it was like
it need to be
it didn't matter, but if the acronym was ball, that'd be sick. Like, it really didn't matter what the name was. Like,
It says 8 to 20 minutes we should spend on the Herb Reviewer of the Week. One of the segments.
That's right. We wanted to roast bad reviewers.
Roasting a reviewer. And then Hot Take, which is something we ended up actually doing. There's a couple.
Drill was only supposed to be on for one episode, too. He was going to be like, or one segment at a show, too. And then he did it for like 4 years. Insane. 5 years.
Movie club and commentary. We did a few of those. We did like the one with Mick and Tyler Withers. And
Coley did, yeah, the Space Jam one. Yeah,
What? I was gonna ask, didn't Klimmer have a sports show he wanted to do? It was like films about guys and sports.
Something along those lines?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's gonna be the belt on it.
We never did the belt.
We should have done the belt. The belt was cool. Critical Thinking. You see, this is your OG logo. You made that one, I think.
Yeah, Critical Thinking. That was the original name of the podcast. Then we found out somebody had a podcast called Critical Thinking already.
Yeah.
That was NPR. I mean, NPR had that. Like, NPR had that in 1997.
It had it in spades, yeah.
Yeah, we made like full like graphic sets and everything. This is from, do you remember that series that they were doing about the whole...
We were going to do castings. We were going to do, we did a bunch of stuff. But then it ended up being, like, Trill came on and we talked about, like, fast food. It was great.
Yeah, for, like,
great for a long time.
I mean, yeah, literally, there you go. Transformers the Dark Knight OG.
The fact that we lasted 6.5 years and the first movies we reviewed were Transformers the Last Night and Emoji Movie. Not to pat ourselves in the back too hard, but, I mean, come on.
That font to Camptown or something? That big-ass font?
Yeah.
Big ass bubbly ones.
Camden.
Jeff's top movies of 2017. Somehow it's The Empire Strikes Back at number one. Don't know how that totally worked out.
How did Oppenheimer get on there?
Unbelievable. It's like, I knew.
A whole crazy. Best movie Critical since 2006.
Some say we would be as big as PMT had we just called the Critical Thinking podcast.
We just called the Critical Thinking the whole time. This is like one of the OG brackets. Yeah, this is like one of the original ones.
Have on AJ Green just inaudible.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah. Talking about rocket energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's the status of LCB. Follow along on social. Still going to do news updates. Going to do more videos and like quick hit review type things.
Yeah, and I mean, think if the opportunity presents itself too, like we could do like a long, like a one off long form video of something if like the opportunity comes up. You know what I mean, it's never say never to that sort of thing. Pod.
Yeah, for now, and we have user login launching soon for the Daily Dozen website, and that will definitely bridge the gap to what will be down the road with our movie website, which Letterboxd, cool, all that cool, but there's some things that I want to be able to do with ours that excite me.
Jet, so. I sent you a great idea, a great feature idea.
You did
something none of the sites have yet, which has bothered me for a while.
And even just like the watch list. Sort. I like Letterboxd and all, and I like the way you can sort, but there's the dream still is what our website has, and that's where you can have an automatic list sorted out of your top movies and things. And so yeah, we're working on that. That obviously was a bummer that was taken out of my hands for years, and Ken Jack and I couldn't work on it, and now we can. So just a little harder because it's more kind of on the side, not fully within our job. So that's that. We're talking news. We're going to talk Wonka. Kind of a cool movie to end on. Very interesting movie, to say the least. And then a perfect draft. We'll be drafting one perfect movie, one perfect show, one perfect song, a perfect food item, and then just perfect something from sports. Let's start out, though, with news. Pretty big news. Jonathan Majors was convicted on two charges. Sentencing, I think, is in January or February. Could face up to a year in prison. Marvel's officially moved on from Jonathan Majors. It's like I sent Gooch the GIF from the movie Major League where Lou Brown looks at his bench coach and goes, I think you should go get him now, about Wild Thing. Like, Marvel's like, it might be time to fire Jonathan Majors. But apparently Kang Dynasty is now being renamed, referred to as Avengers 5. So we'll see who becomes the villain in that.
There's a lot of I think I saw our boys over at My Mom's Basement. Who'd they say? I think Clem said Pedro Pascal. I forget what Robbie's. Who'd Robbie say?
I think they were being a little tongue in cheek there, but they did say, I hope they were, because they said Chris Pratt and Pedro Pascal.
Chris Pratt. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that you could do a multiverse. Anything's happening. That's honestly the best part for Marvel about this, is that it's just a multiverse character. You can cast with anyone without too much.
They want RDJ back. He's played a black man.
I mean, what's his name? Terrence
Howard would actually be Terrence kind of Howard. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That would be kind of awesome.
Man. That'd be hilarious. But I'm surprised they didn't try to redeem it, but he's kind of like a crazy person, I think, a little bit, allegedly. I think, do you ever see him try to talk about math, Terrence Howard?
No.
He has like all these bizarro. No, you got to watch it. He has like interviews on the red carpet and stuff where he talks about math like very metaphysically. And it's hysterical. He's like, it's, you got to just watch it. It's hard to explain.
I don't think he would come back. It's still really bitter. He claims that he got RDJ the role. It's a claim from Terrence Howard that he got RDJ the role of Iron Man. He vouched for him because Disney didn't really want to hire him. Obviously, he had a lot. I mean, RDJ's life was way different back then.
Yeah.
Really just kind of cast out of the public space. And then because it was such a big deal, the first movie, they pulled some of Terrence Howard's money and gave it to Robert Downey Jr. So just like kind of a, I wouldn't say a nightmare, but it became a mess. And I believe Terrence Howard sticks to his guns on that. So I just don't see that changing really anytime soon. At least in terms of Howard joining Marvel. It'd be wild though.
Jeff, yeah,
I don't know if they're going to recast Kang. They put such a nice bow on it in Loki. That everything's kind of okay with Kang, that like they don't need to really go back to that character. Disappointing as that may seem, but
yeah, but like, what's the next? And this is maybe a better question for like a more of a comic book movie fan. What is like the next big bad, you know, so to speak? Because like it's Galactus, I guess, but like that is Doom. Being saved. So who?
Doom, Doctor Doom,
Doctor Doom. Don Doom. I don't think a doctor can be the next one. I think you got to have something a little bit bigger than Doctor Doom in his metal ass face.
Kang was a doctor.
Make it the Doctor Doom alternate from the other Fantastic Four movie. Victor Domashev. Remember that?
Oh yeah, with his weird like digital face thing. Like
he couldn't open his eyes. Like you
Tony Kebbell
see him. Victor Domashev.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, Toby Kebbell. And he people died because he would look at them and their heads would explode.
Yeah, it was like scanners or something.
That's when you're playing on the playground and then you just like you're playing like, oh, I can fly. And then some kid just like,
yeah.
Oh, I can do anything with my mind. Anything at all. Just fuck you.
Yeah, like the guy you're playing rock, paper, scissors, he does God or whatever, gun. Just the worst. The absolute worst. I don't know. Get a good bad guy and develop him, and I think you get a more of a return to form. But I know it's weird. Like, you would think at this point for Marvel, they wouldn't have bigger fish to fry than their big main villain getting arrested and convicted of a crime. But they do have bigger fish to fry. They have a lot of qualitative problems right now, and this is just like adding on to the list. It's crazy.
You guys remember when we were supposed to get the Fantastic forecast like a month ago? We got like one, and we haven't heard a thing since.
I haven't gotten a peep.
Yeah, like
Amber yeah, that, that is, seems to be incredible. Bad rumors from everybody. I'm also very curious. I'm very curious as to how much Deadpool is going to impact the future villains. They can bring so much bullshit into that. So
yeah, Terrence Howard.
So that is the news on Marvel. Next big news, The Rock going to star in an A24 movie directed by Benny Safdie. This is it. This is The Rock going for that Oscar. It's his first real clear, whether it's good or not, we don't know. But obviously, this just stinks of someone trying to get the Oscar, which is credit to him. This is going to show a lot. A lot is going to be on the table here. This could either be, I don't think there's any in between. This is going to be really good, and we're going to be like, yo, DJ can act. Or we're going to be like, holy fuck, he sucks at this. Like, I don't think there's any in between here.
It's crazy because he's the highest paid actor in the world. And we're like, oh, now he gets to finally test if he can actually act. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's just crazy to think that. Yeah.
We
can he play a real role?
God, I mean, come on. We're not going to find out. We know he can't act. He's been acting for 25 years. He's
never roles. Had. Like, but at the same time, like, those roles are never demanding in that sense, you know, of like acting ability, entertainment value, entertaining value, no question. It definitely demands a lot as an entertainer those roles.
On a very consistent basis, though, he still comes underneath the threshold of like the like where he barely needs to be. Like he's still coming in up short. Like
I don't know.
I love him like, because it's probably like his team. Like his team probably was like, you're lacking in like, you know, males and females ages 18 to 26. What you need to do is go star in an A24 movie. And he got on the phone the next day. Like, that's probably what happened.
Probably sees, like, all these. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how The Rock's brain works on this. But he also probably sees, like, Cena and Bautista getting just nonstop accolades and praise for being legitimately good actors. So probably getting, like, good praise within his field. Even though, again, he's getting paid more than, like, probably both of them combined, for all I know. Like, and still, he's like, that's got to be something that kind of, like, I would imagine. I guess money to a degree makes you not want to think about that at all. And like, I don't give a shit, but still I would think about it. Once you get rich enough, you start to think about that sort of stuff.
He definitely thinks about it. He's beefing. He was beefing with Vince with Vin Diesel over like how many punches they could throw. Like he's that absolutely bothers him. The Bautista and Cena stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be quite something. Like I said, I think we're going to know pretty quickly off the bat if it's worth anything.
And I think the guy he's playing, right, is like 4 years older than The Rock, but this movie is set like 20 years ago or something. Like it makes that part of it's confusing to me. Just the timeline of how that totally works out.
I couldn't tell from the article if he's actually playing Mark Kerr.
I think that's what, that was the whole thing. Like he's playing this UFC fighter. But 20 years ago,
smashing machine, former UFC MMA guy Mark Kerr, who struggles with addiction.
It's Austin Powers.
Yeah. So that's The Rock. George Clooney says that another Ocean's movie focused on Danny Ocean likely going to happen. They say that this next Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie one is going to be about his parents. that's obviously tough because the Ocean's movie, I believe three of them have died. At least two are dead. Bernie Mac and Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Elliot Gould is still alive. He's 85.
He's a beast.
That's a good "Are you alive or dead" guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Elliot Gould. He was in the last Ocean. He's in Ocean's 8. He made a cameo. Clooney alive. Brad Pitt alive. Obviously, Saul Carl Reiner is obviously a beloved character, older character, kind of doing something in his honor. Bernie Mac's character.
Casey Affleck's probably.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with Casey Affleck.
Scott Kahn
is the guy who plays Livingston Dell still alive? Yeah, he's 60. So it's I don't know which road they would go, which way they would lean here.
Who is Livingston Dell?
The tech guy.
Wait, it's not PJ Byrne. Never mind.
Not a crazy well known actor. He's actually who's a Nope, Eddie Jemison. Don Cheadle.
Yep.
Off a bunch of other people as well. It's such a the first one's such a good vibes movie. And the other thing too, you absolutely need Steven Soderbergh back. That's the other thing. Soderbergh doesn't make perfect movies all the time.
You wouldn't get a
what was the Meryl Streep movie?
The improv one. No, that was a different one. That was the one with Gary Oldman. And
let them all talk.
Don't talk. Yeah. This.
Yeah.
That improv one stunk.
You wouldn't get Zach Braff to direct this. He said he wanted to be like going in style.
No, he's too busy doing 15,000 commercials with Donald Faison. Like that bit was it was funny for 2 seconds. It's run its course so quickly with me. Like, you know what I mean?
So
like, yeah, fucking good. JD and Turk. Yeah. But like, that was really funny the first time. And now it's just every commercial is them.
Yeah, I'll pass on anyone but Soderbergh.
I have an idea for what they should do. Oh, I was going to say they should rob a sports book. Everything is sports book now. Go like fucking like try to fix a game or something. Like fix the Super Bowl.
That'd
be sick.
Honestly, could you imagine
nightmare
like the ropes they'd have to cross and like the paperwork and shit. Like I guess they did Uncut Gem, but I could see like robbing a sports book being like the biggest no in Hollywood somehow.
Yeah. Danny Ocean stealing my parlay win, I would murder him. He would have like people at the gates trying to kill his ass. I saw something the other day and you probably knew this, Jeff, but Soderbergh, he said his favorite Oceans is 12, which is crazy to me.
That oddly doesn't shock me, like knowing and like reading things about Steven Soderbergh. I mean, that's crazy, but like, I don't know. Like, if he put a lot of little personal touches in that, where like he did in the first one too, but the second one seemed like such a different idea. Where obviously the first one's not completely based on the original, but it really was way more of his own than the first one was, I guess. By the way, the original is so fucking bad. If you've never seen it, we've talked about that for years.
Oh, it's stinks. It's a horrific movie. Stinks.
Most people don't even know it exists.
Hey, the Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack. Yeah, baby. Yeah. And it's a stinker.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will be rough, too, for him to try and do this after the Gosling Robbie one comes out, because that's probably going to be so fucking good. It's hard to see if that doesn't bang.
Just like keep the heist. Like Logan Lucky was so awesome because it was a straight up heist. Yeah. It had the reveal, it had the secrecy. And they never really recaptured that with the first one. The 13 I enjoyed to an extent because it was a little more in its element. This also has to be in Vegas. It's got to be in casinos. That's what makes it so fun.
Dude, the heist in 8 was so bad. Oh. The heist was so stinky. Also,
it was like in the middle of the movie, right?
Yeah. Ugh. It was real bad.
Oh, yeah. 8 was a letdown. 8 was definitely a letdown. Eight wasn't as bad as some people made it seem, but it was definitely a letdown. Couple cameos. Elliot Gould, the actor who plays Amazing Yen, was in it. Another A24 movie. This is from director Alex Garland, who has done, who did Annihilation and Ex Machina.
I forgot I got that dozen question wrong on fucking Annihilation once. Because I could, that's one of those words that I just hear it 1,000 times and I'm just like, Annihilation.
You had a bad second guess the other day in trivia. You second guessed You ended up winning the match, but you second guess Iron Lady.
Iron Lady, that one fucked me up because you said Margaret Thatcher. I knew her nickname, her actual nickname was just the Iron Lady, and her second nickname was the biggest war criminal in the 21st or 20th century, and then her third nickname was the lady that was portrayed in the movie The Iron Lady. But yeah, that was a tough scene.
Civil War, very interesting trailer. Kirsten Dunst, Stephen McKinley Henderson. Fun role in Dune, by the way. Kaylee Spaney, Jesse Plemons, Nick Offerman, playing the president, by the way.
Yeah.
The United States on the brink of civil war in a near future setting. In, very interesting movie about civil war between Texas and California. Quite the team up there.
They're on a side.
Ejecting their low forces.
Yeah. As someone who's lived in both states, not exactly the two states.
You lived in like 90% of these states, dude.
Yeah.
I only live in the good U.S.
they made A24 like dropped a map of it. Like they like what it actually is supposed to be. Let's see if we can find it. Sorry, go ahead.
Looks cool though. Looks promising. Alex Garland's a very good director. And that is a huge that's a huge reason why it might be good.
This map is ridiculous.
The map is weird. The map is the two main culprits are the Republic of California and the Second Republic of Texas, which are weird because you would think, well, maybe does New Mexico and Arizona bridge the gap? No, they're part of the Loyalist state, which include Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. Yeah. Wyoming, Nebraska, what the fuck is that state? Kansas. Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky. There you go, Gooch. Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and then all of the Northeast in New England, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all that. And then there's the Western forces, which are Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming is Western forces. Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. And then this one just seems unlikely. Alliance?
This is who I'm taking in the war. Are you kidding me?
Probably the Florida Alliance. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida. How do they get strong-armed into calling themselves the Florida Alliance?
Who's got the most guns is the big, I don't know. There's like California's got a lot of army Florida military line. Bases.
It's Florida.
Florida's got Florida. A ton.
Texas, but the Texas, I mean, Second Republic of Texas definitely has its own ground to stand on. But I think the Florida Alliance wins that one.
A lot of army bases down the East Coast. I don't know. What happens in the Florida Alliance? Do they suddenly have to pay income tax and like everything goes crazy in like their brand new world where there's no Fed?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm curious how the Texas fleeing the state.
Actually, no. Mincy's their leader. He accidentally leaks the war plans. Live on a State of the Union address.
Did Dr. Miami's in the last chopper out of Miami with a bunch of BBL girls getting back up north so he doesn't have to pay income tax?
is that a confirmed correct map?
It looks like I have no clue. Honestly, it looks real. But also, we've made so many fake maps, I feel like we should be more on edge about it.
The first post about it when you Google it is on the Reddit for Destiny. and the second comment is, it's not about current politics, it's about extremism getting out. It's like, all right, it's from a movie.
It took me to a forum called A. It wasn't the Reddit for Destiny, the video game, but the first link it gave me Destiny was this.
It's probably Destiny the political streamer, I would imagine, and not Destiny to the game.
My
guess.
Correct. That's why they're upset about it.
I clicked on a forum. I guess I could see
how that would be confusing. There is also a video game named Destiny. They're very upset about it. I'm like, there's a movie. It's like, could be good. Could be really stupid. This, you know what vibes it gives me?
Just
Battle Los Angeles vibes.
Yeah. Do you remember? Someone brought this up.
Not quite as serious, but.
Yeah. somebody brought this up too, and I thought about it, but I was like, no one's seen this movie, but someone mentioned Bushwick. Do you remember they tried to do this in Bushwick, and it was just, it made no fucking sense. It was like the Republic of Texas sent mercenaries to Brooklyn in Bushwick or whatever, and like all the boroughs and shit, and like they invaded all there, and then for some reason Dave Bautista was an army medic there and had to fight people off. It was stupid, really bad movie. But yeah, they're just, Civil War movies feel like they shouldn't, like, I'm surprised there aren't more. I'm surprised there haven't been more. That's what I think I came down after watching this trailer with.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Battle of Los Angeles had one of the best trailers of all time.
This is
such potential.
Movie kind of stunk.
It's going to be very annoying to hear people talk about this movie. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. They're going to talk about it in a very serious manner. Like a very serious, like, well, see, that's interesting. No, it's not. It's a movie. Just watch it because it's a movie. Mm-hmm. So that is Civil War. And then lastly, this is a wild one. All DC films will soon be available to stream through Tubi in a new deal between WB and the streamer.
Broke ass.
Apparently they forgot. They forgot that they have it in HBO Max. I don't know. That's crazy.
And no damn money.
I think I could get like exclusive rights right now to like Batman Returns for like $10,000.
Like, Batman Robin is probably free.
I mean, they are. Tubi? I respect Tubi, but Tubi?
Let's see, is Tubi the streaming service that's then been advertising lately? I've seen advertisements for like going down a rabbit hole, endless like binging. I think it is Tubi.
They got an orange logo. I'll tell you that much. It's like orange and red. It's like an orange red.
Oh, it is. You're right.
No, it's orange, and it's like the worst looking movies and TV shows you've ever seen in your life. Like really, like student film level produced stuff.
Wasn't Tubi the one during the Super Bowl that had like the interface pop up, and it was like it was like
oh, people thought it was fucking it up. Yeah, yes. People thought it was like fucking up their TV.
They don't deserve
that. You're right.
That was terrible. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be like movies where, do you remember that guy that went viral for a bit where he had like those books where it's like, my bitch has roaches in her crib or something like that. It'll be like movies like that. It'll be like things that make no sense. It's very funny.
So yeah, congrats to Tubi. There's also Major Tubi. Tubi has a lot of really cool old movies.
Oh, yeah. Does she?
Yeah, no, not the female employee at Barstool Sports. So that's it for news. Also in the news is that this new Willy Wonka movie came out, and we are reviewing that now. Wonka stars Timothy Chalamet, Keegan-Michael Key, Sally Hawkins, Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, Olivia Colman, Hugh Grant playing an Oompa Loompa, which we'll absolutely talk about. With dreams of opening a shop in a city renowned for its chocolate, a young and poor Willy Wonka discovers that the industry is run by a cartel of greedy chocolatiers, including Slugworth, the actual Slugworth. Remember, Slugworth, not really in the original. He's pretending to be Slugworth. The tagline is "How Willy Became Wonka," which makes no sense.
Cut that one.
How I wonked my Willy. Yeah.
I mean, we'll work on that one again, boys. We could do better than that.
It's crazy. It's a horrible tagline. It has pretty decent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Been in theaters for a few days now. 84% from critics. Audiences like it more. 91% approval rating. The original has a 91. Actually, it's the exact opposite. 91. From the critics, 87 from audiences, and then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which came out in 2000. What was it?
Six. Eight.
Five.
Yeah.
83% from critics, 51% from audiences. So that one was a little more by the book, literally. It was closer to the book. The music was closer to the book, to what the Oompa Loompas sang. Had nothing really to do with the original Willy Wonka. This movie, while not similar in style, or tone or format of music, it is a prequel to the original Willy Wonka. Not as maybe overtly as you would think. It's not like dead. It's not like the end of Rogue One, right? Where fucking Gene Wilder or Augustus Gloop pops out and says, you know, is like born or something. But it opens and ends with pure imagination, golden tickets, factory, fountain, all that shit. Like it definitely is a spiritual prequel to the Gene Wilder movie, which is kind of crazy when we get into the review, because I it's weird. I think this movie is absolutely just okay at best. Yeah. I think it's above average. I don't think it's good. I think it's just above average. I gave it a 77 out of 100. Looks nice. Story's fine. Honestly, I was pretty fucking bored of it at times. But right now, 77. I'm seeing it again. I may end up dropping it because I think I was kind of wooed by the fact that I love the original. The original is a perfect movie, minus the mom, you know, cheer up Charlie. It's the worst thing, one of the worst things in the history of movies. But sometimes you have to excuse that shit. By the way, I'm watching TV. The Monday Night Football game above me. Aquaman's big selling point in their commercials, by the way, has recently been the best 3D movie since Avatar.
Which is the only 3D movie since Avatar.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
So that's really how Willy became Wonka is a better better selling point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Chalamet's nice in this, and we'll get into it. I think he does a decent job, but I think the story bored me, and I think they just kind of misfired on the way to make this character land, which is unfortunate because everything else is pretty good. It's just like the story really lacks. It's like, oh, it's kind of boring, but it's not horrible, so I really can't put it too much lower than that. So that's where I'm at right now on one watch of Wonka.
Mm-hmm. It's so fitting that the last long format review, we end up this close in score. I had a 76. And there I remember thinking, like, as I left the theater, I was like, this is like such a very, I don't think I had to sit okay. I think it's like a remarkably average movie. And I was like, that is a very okay, solid movie. Not by any stretch is it like bad, but it's also just like nowhere near what it could be. And maybe like what I expect, because it's Paul King, right? The guy to Paddington. And you just expect, I think with him, there's like two things here where you're like, you really have a sort of expectation. Like Paul King is like just great at this like sort of English, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you call it, like charm, I guess. He's really good at that. He's really, really good at that. Obviously,
that American directors probably wouldn't be able to get. And that's not like a knock on them, but just like they're just take something to be from there and do that.
Yeah. And like he nails that in the first two in both Paddington movies. Like it's those movies are all about charm. And that combined with this world, I would have thought they'd find a better way to just sort of loop that in with like the interesting story. And it just kind of is like, it's okay. It's too long. It's got some issues with trying to make you or I think pacing, a lot of pacing problems. It's got a lot of maybe too many characters, maybe a lot of stuff going on in this movie, and not a lot. I think one of the biggest things that I walked away from this movie thinking was, wow, there was not a lot of good music in this. And maybe there wasn't a lot of good music in the original Willy Wonka too, other than a couple songs, but I was just like, they put a lot of original songs in this and like one of them hit. And that's, I think, a bit of a problem when you're doing a movie of this sort of nature. But we can obviously get more into that, pros and cons. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Gooch.
Yeah, I'm at a 70 out of 100. So about as average as you can get in my books. Yep. Like in terms of being an average, like good movie, like didn't waste my time at the theater. Felt all right going out. Every time they left a musical scene and it wasn't focused on Timothy Chalamet's Wonka, like I was like, oh my God, what is this movie? I think kids will like it, which like, so if you're like looking for something to watch with your family over the break and it's between this and Aquaman 2, yeah, sure. This is probably a good choice. But outside of that, yeah, no, you can
forgetting,
stay at home.
Migration, right? The animated duck movie that we keep forgetting about.
They're those ads. The shit out of that movie. They fucking ruined Shark Tank with like a stupid promo in the middle of it. Crazy.
The trailers they choose to play before blockbusters. Like I honestly don't blame people for thinking all movies that come out suck, because they find like the worst blockbusters and like the worst cuts of those trailers for those blockbusters to play before the movies. It's terrible. Oh, yeah, God. I think yesterday I know I got Migration, and I know I got Aquaman 2 got and Madam Web back to back. That's like 15 minutes you're just sitting there watching shit.
I had those three, and then The Boys in the Boat, which I've played before every movie I've seen in the last 2 months. It's just that same fucking song that Don't Back Down with like dramatic overtone playing, and it's just
not just a real people movie.
But a bunch of kids on a boat. Yeah, it's come on.
You'll never beat those Germans in that boat.
It's like I just immediately look up. Oh, they beat the Germans in the boat. Nevertheless. Man.
Yeah, I'll just read the Wikipedia on that one. So the movie, anyways, yeah, pretty average. I like the musical stuff just because I'm a sucker for it. But outside of that,
I'm not going to knock it too many points for not feeling like it's truly a prequel to the Gene Wilder stuff. Like, that seems a little unfair. But we should get into it a little bit. Like, if it is going to play into being the prequel to the Gene Wilder movies, where's the mystery? Where's, like, he just isn't the same Wonka. Like, that's not, like, obviously, he's young, so stuff must happen along the way. But, like, is he going to play the character again? Like, I don't know. Like, I was hoping for more.
I feel like, yes. I feel like in the big thing probably. That's the sign of that is the fact that Hugh Grant was not involved in this movie almost at all. I feel like that was such a setup, you know what I mean? To get an actor like him to play a role where he has like three speaking lines, I feel like they're like...
He hated it, by the way. I don't know if they'll ever get Hugh Grant. He despised this role, and you could fucking tell, by the way.
Yeah. That French interview where he's just like, just Jim Appel, Oompa Loompa.
Oh my God. I don't know. I wanted more of the. It just didn't feel like the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka. I'm not gonna really knock the movie for that because like it's not a requirement to do that. But I was hoping that's what we get. Like, what makes the first so great? What makes the Gene Wilder performance so awesome? I'm not saying Shelley had to replicate that. It's not really his fault. Like, the character is written in less of a mysterious and pessimistic, but like there's so much about that character that is kind of. It puts your head into a pretzel on purpose, and it makes him be so great. And there really isn't any of that here. That's kind of a bummer. And obviously, they overdid it in the. I mean, they just made him a piece of shit in the Johnny Depp one, a fucking weirdo movie.
I do wonder now that you've brought up Paul King's, like, obviously his work on Paddington, if he was maybe just the wrong director for this. Like, obviously, maybe. All the charm is there, but there should have been more.
He made him Paddington
up there. Yeah, yeah.
He made him into Paddington. Basically, yeah. He was like this edgeless sort of like likable guy, which isn't maybe totally what we know as Wonka.
He had a couple lines too where he kind of went there, and I was like, yeah, more of that. Like, he was like, oh, maybe I will kill him. Like, he was like saying stuff about like he would kill the Oompa Loompa if he ever got his hands on it. And like shit like that. Like, that was what made the Gene Wilder thing so great. It's like, is this guy serious right now? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know who would have been really good, and I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it, but Wes Anderson would have been a really good pick.
Oh,
here.
Man. Would that have been too? Yeah. Wes Anderson would probably play a good. Wes Anderson is the Willy Wonka of movies. So
that's a fit.
That's actually, I don't think a bad comp, but I feel like he would make it so. I don't know how to explain it. There's like a whimsical nature to British whimsy that I don't think Wes Anderson quite has.
And he's honorary.
Don't know how to explain
he's honorary.
It. He's not quite there yet.
He's honorary European.
He does look so British. It's crazy.
There's also... I'm trying to think the best way to put it. There's like...
Do you want to talk about some pro stuff? Because yeah, I think it's just as long as we're on that. I think that for the most part, it is a very delightful vibe, and that's something I loved out of Paul King, something he seems to nail. Maybe, again, not totally the right thing for Wonka, but I still like that part. I think the fat Michael Keegan Key was hysterical. I thought that was a very good bit of him just getting progressively fatter. Keegan Michael Key, throughout the movie, him just getting progressively fatter throughout the movie, I thought was very funny. I think the guy, and I'm not familiar with this dude other than Paddington, the Tom Davis, the guy who played Beecher, the dude with the deep voice that worked at the laundromat. I loved that dude. He was, he crushed every second of screen time alongside Olivia Colman. And I think you guys mentioned this too, or at least one of you did maybe. I just liked Timmy Chalamet getting to do something fun, you know? He always gets forced into these very dark, mean roles. And like, I feel like he got a chance to do something a little goofy. Like, this is the first time I've seen him do something goofy since what? Like Lady Bird? Like, it's kind of cool.
And even then, he kind of just played like a douchebag.
You douche. So I remember what I was going to say. I was trying to make the comp. I mentioned this a little bit somewhere else. I forgot what show I was on. It might have been Kirk Minahan show last week. We were talking about like what is missing. And I compared it to the Patton Oswalt stand-up bit about George Lucas and the prequels, the Star Wars prequels. And he's like, hey, you like Boba Fett? I'm like, yeah. Like, well, here he is as a little kid. And that's like what I felt with this whole movie. It's like, hey, you like Willy Wonka? Yeah. Well, here he is as a kid. And like, you get like some chocolate, but you don't like get the factory and like all like really a lot of the fun stuff. It's like, you just kind of get it at the end. It's like, oh, okay. Which like, it's a prequel, so I guess that's the point. But I don't know. I just think like they could have moved the story a little further. Like, he's just kind of like captive in like a dungeon for most of the movie. It's, like, it's a bummer. It takes out all the fun.
When he would like sing about like where he got his chocolates and like the weird locations and like the storm, like the whole time I was thinking, I was like, well, I want to see that shit. Like, I want to see him going on an adventure and like finding like these like bugs and like finding, figure out how to bottle up a storm cloud. Shit like that would have been so fun to see.
Well, now it sounds
that was
like
the best song.
The line in the prequel where it's like, when Obi-Wan's like, well, you have to, you owe me for that one time.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we see that? Yes. Obi-Wan save Anakin. I don't want to see him on this senator's platform with his ship. Like, show
diplomatic
that.
Mission. Yeah, that was the best song, by the way. When he sat there, when he was like explaining where all the candies are from and like what they were doing, like that was my favorite song of that entire thing. But I feel like all the other songs, and I don't know totally which ones are original, maybe from the book or whatever, but like the out of all the songs, I mean, probably got how many songs you think in that? Like 10, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably like, right.
I liked.
10.
Yeah, I would say that one song was the only one where I was like, that's really good, that's catchy. And like you could say like the scrub one, I was like, I don't, this bit, axe it, pull that one. Fucking Downton Abbey ass motherfucker. Although I think that literally was the dude from Downton Abbey, yeah. Just I didn't get it.
I think kids are gonna love that, those villains though. Those are like prototypical, like you will remember those villains for the rest of your life. Kind of like if you see that when you're a kid, because they're so ugly and like just mean, like mean for no reason.
The guy puking every time he hears poor.
That was funny. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I think another thing, and this is something that's noticeable, I think in Paul King movies, is like this weird CGI sheen on stuff. And like, that's, I think, okay in Paddington because their main character is a CGI bear. It's kind of like your illusion is already a little bit shattered there. But in this one, it's all like human people except for the Oompa Loompa. Like, it is getting a little bit more noticeable.
Here's the line. All right, Anakin. Anakin says, all right, but you owe me. Not for saving your skin for the 10th time. Show us those 10 times.
Yeah. Should have been serious, if anything.
Talk, not you know, do not talk, or show not talk. That's kind of where I land with the movie. And like, I'm not saying that's the reason I don't really like love this. I'm not going to knock it too much for that. I'm just saying like, those are the things that could have really brought this to another level. It takes out the fun. It takes out like kind of the joyful, the mystery. It just felt so kind of restrained. And that was a bit of a bummer. Especially in a movie where like there's musicals and they're flying around and shit. Like, there's no reason they could have done the wacky stuff. Like, it was grounded. He's like getting the chocolate in a bodega. Okay, maybe he doesn't go to the weird places, but like, they clearly could have.
Yeah.
You know what made me laugh out loud? I don't know if this hit you guys too in the theater, but the scene where the three villains break in and shoot with the gun, I laughed out loud. Just because, like, in my head, I'm like, this isn't a world where guns exist. And the guy just came in with a revolver and just bam. And I just, like, immediately, like, so the last thing I expected to happen, he just came in with the fucking, with the yapa, didn't know what was going to happen, but it made me laugh.
There's some other little Easter eggs. There's the golden ticket Easter egg, which is nice. They tease another Roald Dahl character, the Twits. Towards the end of the villains, I don't know. It's a fine family Christmas movie if you want to take them there, take your family or something. But I don't know. I'm also there's a level of, I feel like I'm on kind of the outside looking in here, where I think a lot of people really enjoy this, and I think we kind of are just not fazed by it, not really moved too much by it.
I haven't seen anyone say they love this.
I think people enjoy it more than we do.
Yeah, 7.4 7.4 on IMDb. So it's kind of where we're at.
By the way, did Sally Hawkins play the mom in the Johnny Depp one? Who's the mom? No, it was Helen Bonner Carter. Never mind.
Of course.
It is funny, though. I feel like you actually could probably have convinced me that that was correct. I don't know why.
I was just thinking, I'm like,
well, what does she play the mom in? She's the mom in something.
She is. That's why I'm really. And maybe she plays the mom of that.
What is she the mom in?
Maybe she plays Freddie Highmore's mom in something else. What the fuck's her name?
What the fuck is she the mom in?
I feel like a rom com.
Sally Hawkins is in The Phantom Menace?
Who's she in The Phantom Menace? Is she like a palace guard or something?
Handmaiden?
There was somebody was a handmaiden. A famous person was a handmaiden. An
uncredited villager. Yeah, Rose Byrne plays her body double, and then Keira Knightley Keira Knightley plays like the queen.
Yeah.
Sally Hawkins was in Star Wars. Wow, I did not know that. That's fascinating.
Who the fuck was she the mom in?
Yeah, that's going to kill me because I feel like she was. I feel like she was the mom to Freddie Highmore in a movie. You are like, that does seem right.
Yeah. It's just in the, what's The Good Doctor? It's just a show we've never watched, but we've seen enough of it just through secondhand clips.
I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. Dr. Han. I'm a doctor.
No, I am a surgeon. I am a surgeon. Don't you? Oh, in Paddington Bear, she's the mom. We're stupid. That's why. And Sally Hawkins is the mom in Paddington.
It still feels like we're missing something, though. I don't know why.
That's definitely it, though. That's 100% why we're fucking this up, because we're associating a different Paul King thing with this. Damn it. That was so obvious, too.
Yeah, there we go. I don't think this is cracking our top movie of the year.
If you have kids, I think they'd like it. That's something I think of value.
It's a nice movie. It's fine.
Very fine. I think I got like 2 or 3 out loud laughs during the movie. For myself, like where I was like, ha, ha, ha. And that's good. There's value to that. I think the time where he could, again, the fat Keegan-Michael Key, just fat guys make me laugh. And then just referring to him as fat, maybe funny, made me laugh too. I think that made me laugh. The puke, not the puke part. Yeah. The poor people making them puke thing.
Yeah.
There's a couple other good lines too, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it for our review of Wonka. I think check it out. It's fun. It's nice on the big screen, but I wouldn't go and expect anything crazy.
Before we move on, I did tell my good friend Timothy Chalamet about the pod. And he actually made a song for us from the Wonka soundtrack.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Jack Kennedy and Jeff D. In a pod of Yoda masturbation, can't forget about TB, his dark imagination. Start the trip with a sip, cackling in the court of Trill's creation. Judge Jeff D will defy his hydration. If you want to hear the movie news, first you're gonna hear about fast food. Ken Jack will be sure to chew it, know what it sounds like. Conalingus. Meet the foe of Jeff Lowe, the glass stairs of Apple's creation. Buddy Pounds is horny for Tom Cruise's fake bussy. If you want to see a new movie, simply go to Steve's old theater. Now showing EDM, Peter. What's that in your hand? A PS Vita. Hobbs and Shaw, la-di-da, faded tea of Balloon Jerry. I'm the Joker, baby. We are sadly flatlining.
There's no sound. There's no sound.
There's no sound. Do I have to play it out loud?
No. Just splice it in. Because I don't want to work a talk over it.
Yes, you will. It's 5 minutes long.
Oh, my God. I got to get that.
I'll get it.
Splice it in. We'll watch it. We'll watch it after.
You'll love it. The pigs are going to love it. It's pure slop.
We saw the beginning of it, so I could already tell.
Yeah.
Treat to end. Perfect draft. One on a high note. One perfect movie, one perfect show, one perfect song, perfect food item, and then perfect sports thing. We'll go right. I don't think we're gonna have any overlap. We'll start out with Gooch. We'll Gooch, then Ken Jack, then myself. Can pick anything you want.
Anything at all?
Yeah, you can start with anything.
Blade Runner 2049.
It's got to be a song. The only thing is you got to pick a song, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Song first.
Song
first?
No, I'm saying you can't pick you can't pick like an album.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go straight down the list. We're not going to have overlap. I'm going to start with Blade Runner 2049. Sorry, I had multiple options written down, just in case. We've talked about this movie enough. I love it. It's perfect. I just got the... got it on 4K Blu-ray. There we go.
4K.
Yeah. Which is totally worth it when you have a $300 TV. Let me tell you. special features.
4K, I'm on a bad physical media kick. I just got the La La Land. I'm on a Steelbook kick on eBay. Not good. Really not good. Just a bad habit.
I love Steelbooks, though. They're so sick.
Yeah. The Steelbooks are just... That's a hack right there. That was a big, like, there was a minute there where I was like, what are they going to do next in the DVD world? The Steelbooks. Whoa, buddy.
Yeah, and then, like, they sell out so quick. I mean, the Oppenheimer Steelbook cost me an arm and a leg. The Inglourious Basterds one I just got.
Depleted uranium shell case for uranium, yeah. For Oppenheimer.
That's a good pick, though. Blade Runner 2049. That's a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do the same thing. I'll just go down the list. I'll start with movie, and I'll do Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. I don't think any movie was more influential for me really growing up, and I think that it's a movie that I've only liked it more with time, and I liked it as it was, however long I think the original cut's like 2.5 hours or something, maybe a little bit more, and I liked it when it was 4 hours long. I liked every rendition of it. I liked every frame of that movie. I think it's perfect, perfectly acted, and just the perfect culmination and ending for a trilogy.
Yeah, I you just named two movies that I have 100 out of 100. Return of the King's a top five movie ever for me. What a fucking unbelievable movie. I mean, a movie with so many moments.
Outside of
so many stand up moments.
And really outside of the one, the Ghost of the Kings. Outside of that, the movie looks not only looks as good as it did 20 years ago still, it almost looks better when you like just because of the shit we have to sit through like now with bad CGI, like looking at those beautiful practical prosthetics and like just looks so good.
The orcs, God. Dude. The orcs look so much better than the fucking CGI monstrosities in like The Hobbit and all that. Yeah, it's crazy.
The ghosts look pretty good still.
They do still look pretty good.
I think they look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, for my perfect movie, you just named two movies that I would have on my list. So I'll get my number one, my best of all time, Empire Strikes Back. Doing a Star Wars rewatch right now, and oh my God, just so fucking good. Yoda just dropping heaters left and right. Yoda just a wordsmith.
Mm-hmm.
That is why you fail is probably the best line in all of Star Wars.
Bending on over.
Elizabeth Holmes' ass.
Just dry, yeah. It's crazy that they copied Elizabeth Holmes for that movie. Unbelievable.
Can you ultra key his smock and make it black, like so it looks more like it's a turtleneck?
Yoda's little outfit.
She copied Steve Jobs and Yoda, and people were like, "Wow, she's a phony,"
and had the fakest voice of all time. That is the fakest thing. The most obvious thing to discern is just like, "Hello, I'm Elizabeth Holmes, regular voice human being, and I like Yoda, and I make
over
a blood
here,
machine."
My Yoda quote wall.
You
open up the quote wall and there's jeans and turtlenecks.
And I have a blood machine that with 100% efficacy. It's like, how do you believe this? How do billions of dollars worth of investors believe this?
White women. White women.
You know what the word I don't really use to describe people? She's a dope. Just a dope.
Mm.
A dopey ass person.
This is like, was it portrayed? Like, random people were all over that board. It was crazy.
That's fucking Elizabeth Holmes. TV show. I'm gonna go. This is a tough one. Succession up there, sci-fi. I'm gonna go Veep though. Veep was never not funny, and it's very hard to have a perfect show. Like there's shows that are like Arrested Development's early seasons are perfect, but it has some bad seasons. If we're going perfect, it's got to be consistent start to finish. Veep never missed a beat. Veep was arguably funnier at the end than it was in the beginning. Like, Veep was always funny. Zero bad episodes. There are episodes that if you rewatch that show, you're like, what the fuck? Like, that joke was in this episode. Some of the best jokes I've ever heard on TV are all from Veep. So, yeah, Veep is my perfect TV show, the perfect draft.
What is that one line Richard says where he's like, "Hi, I'm Richard M. Splett. Don't know why I said M. My middle name's Lewis." Like, it was just,
he's so that, fucking
funny.
Splatnet.net.
Splatnet.net, that's right.
So I can't wait to get that handle.
Dude, and even the very ending, the funeral and everything was so fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's even the best part, and like you said, it was just great all the way to the end, almost better at the end. It's like they just quit doing it. And they could have done it for 10 more years. Like they had to quit doing it because they were just like, yeah, it's just getting like we're just hitting this shit a little too hard on like nail on the head.
Right. Life was imitating life was imitating art. Just that could very well just stop being funny.
That Kamala Harris clip went out the other day and someone put it like side by side with the Selena Myers like video call. It was just like dead on.
Look at the fucking look at SNL making fun of like the Harvard Penn Israel.
Yeah.
Like there's just Veep never ascended to that level, but or descended to that level, I guess. But like you very well could. That show could have been horrible had they just misstepped in one way.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jack, your show.
My show, I'm going to pick Sopranos. I feel like that's a no-brainer, got to pick a type of show. It's funny, too, because like Mush and Glennie have been rewatching it, and they sit next to me, and they've just been like, and Robbie, too, Robbie Fox. And they just like, every time they talk about a scene, I'm just like, it is, I think, similar to, like you were saying, with Veep.
No?
What?
Oh, sorry. My connection just left. Sorry.
Yeah. I think it's very similar to Veep in that there's a lot of moments where you're like, wow, that happened in this season. This happened in this season. There's so many great moments, so many great like character introductions throughout the series. Like, well, there'll be like a little guy on like fucking what's his name? Not Ray Liotta. who's the guy from Big? Robert Loggia showing up for like a 2-episode arc and just crushing it. It's like Feach LaManna and like Richie and the cousin Tony, like all these guys, like so many different little roles, all of them crushing. And then obviously James Gandolfini, just like one of the best television performances of all time. So I think you got to go Sopranos there.
Also, like the bad Sopranos is like the Italian, like the Columbus Day stuff would be like bad, and it's still iconic. It's like,
and even then, that's like on purpose. Like it's supposed to be like making fun of how like dumb they are with that shit. You know what I mean? It's not like serious. And like that part, that shit rocks to me. And like Janice, one of the all time great like TV villains. Ugh. Like so many good ones, man. It is so many great deaths too. Great death scenes, including if you want to talk about the bad of Sopranos, that's where the bad can come in. It's specifically Jackie Jr.'s death, maybe the funniest TV death of all time.
He's gone of all time.
Getting snuck up on by Vito Spadafore, the 800 pounds of man snuck up on him.
Someone posted that clip the other day when he gets out of the car and he's like wearing a big like Hawaiian shirt and he's like hey, maybe you want to mix in a salad, huh? And he's like, what?
I think that was Bobby. That was Bobby.
Bobby's wearing a fat suit in it too.
Bobby gets crushed. And like that's a line that I think one of them says to him. He sees Vito and Bobby standing next to each other, and like one of them, I think it's Paul, he's like, yeah, look, it's before and way before. Like, there's just so many good lines in it. And man, dude, it's such a great show.
Yeah, it's a great pick. Sopranos is on my list as well. TV show, then song, Gooch. Perfect.
TV show. I ran into the issue that you'd brought up when you said Veep was just good front to the back. Like, there's a lot of shows I love, and I love them for 5 seasons, and then they run for 8, and the final 3 are just not good or just very mediocre.
Scrubs effect.
Yeah, Scrubs, The Office, Arrested Development, X-Files was on there. And I actually did take a show from a guy who's one of the masterminds behind X-Files, and Vince Gilligan. I took Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad is a perfect TV show. I don't talk about it a ton just because it gets talked about enough without me putting my input on that. And it's not like the most fun show to talk about either. Like everything in it's pretty fucking dark. But Breaking Bad, I think, is perfect. Like perfectly set up, structured, like tells a perfect narrative from episode 1 to the final episode and really never misses a beat. Like really picks up steam the final 3 seasons, honestly, and like never looks back.
Mm-hmm. And like I would definitely argue like Ozymandias, one arguably top 3 episode of television ever made. No question.
Yeah.
It never really has a downbeat for me. I would say 30 Rock is probably up there. I don't think 30 Rock ever skips a beat. And that's crazy because 30 Rock is stupid. Like that's a
dude.
I've
been rewatching it. It is so fucking funny still. Like every episode has like a laugh out loud great moment. So
like
crazy.
There's stuff that again, like it's a smart show. There's very smart humor in it, but there's some things that are like Seinfeld vision. There's some dumb stuff, but it worked. Like Nilf Island is objectively really stupid, but they're geniuses in how in which they write it and how they perform it, and it's so funny. And that show never.
And Nilf Island got made.
Yeah, right.
Nilf Island got made, so like they kind of were prophetic there. Yeah.
Song Gooch. Which Dolly Parton song are you picking?
No, I'm taking your song.
Which one?
Your song.
Oh, your song.
Yeah, your song by Elton John. Yeah, no, that's my favorite song of all time. Yeah, no, I love that song. It makes me emotional, literally, still, every time I listen to it. And I listen to it a lot. I love that song. Mm-hmm. There's like 10 Elton John songs I could put on there. Honestly,
there's a couple. I'm not gonna pick Elton John, but there's a couple Elton John songs that I really thought about. I don't even know what I consider my favorite Elton John song to be. I do like I'm Still Standing. I'm a big fan.
I like Honky Cat a lot.
I also like him singing my mind Stand of Rocket Man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. To prove that Eminem wasn't homophobic. Yeah. Forgot about that.
I can't explain it. Like, does Gen Z know about that? I feel like I've never seen a single one of them talk about it.
I got a they gay friend. It's like literally.
Yeah.
That shit was so funny.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road might be up there for me too. I fucking love that song.
That's a good one.
All right. Ken Jack song.
I'll go a little off the beaten path. I'll just do the Star Wars main theme. I think that we're talking about like there's a lot of like regular music I think we could go for here. But I think as far as like not only does everyone instantly know whether you're a Star Wars fan or not, like I'm pretty sure like majority of people off the street would instantly know the Star Wars theme right off the bat. It's so like evocative and like it just it's so perfect at setting the scene of what Star Wars is, which is like just massive space opera and everything. And to think like that's the first thing you hear when you see Star Wars for the first time in A New Hope, right? It's like the title crawl while the music's playing and they set you up in this big, giant, grand adventure. And like that sets you up into that world so quickly and so flawlessly. And I mean, you could say with John Williams, like every other theme, like I would say his indie theme is right up there for me. You could say like, honestly, like literally again, every soundtrack he's ever done, Harry Potter, like all that shit. He's so great at like augmenting world building with his music. And that was one where just it's I think it's right out there with the top. One of the most I would say I don't think that's crazy to say the most recognizable movie theme song like ever, period.
It I'm watching with someone who's never seen it before, and you really do like you, when you become a fan like us where you're thinking about it all the time and you're a fan forever and you don't really think about like the tiny little details of like, you know, what makes a movie tick because you're just so in the zone. When you watch them for the first time, you do pretty quickly realize, like, God, that fucking the opening moment is just such a huge part of bringing people in. Like, they're immediately hooked because even if they don't like the rest of the movie, but like their attention's there. Like, you have their attention. Like, it's it grabs you and it kind of shakes you. That's why it's so fucking genius. Okay, song for me, I'm gonna go with "Born to Run," Bruce Springsteen. I love "Born to Run." Fleetwood Mac up there too. I think there's a little recency bias because I went and saw Bruce Again live, but it's just such a good belted out song.
I'm a Bruce Again Christian.
It's got some good just kind of like fucking jam out or just sing it with everyone type moments. I love Born to Run. I'd also put All the Lights on there. A lot from that Kanye album.
Whoa.
Hey, Art Not the Artist, brother. Could have put Midnight in Paris up there too. Also, in terms of perfect songs that I don't think I know Outkast is a lot of people's top songs. Roses by Outkast is a perfect song. I fucking love that.
Sorry about to just Hey Ya. And I wouldn't have disagreed
Hey
with
Ya
you.
Is perfect as well.
Great song.
I'll go Born to Run. I love.
I was talking to someone recently who didn't know that they knew Andre 3000 as an actor before they knew that he was the guy in Outkast. Like they're like, whoa. Yeah, the guy from Four Brothers. The guy from Four Brothers. And I was like, no, the fucking Outkast, Hey Ya. And he's like, oh, I didn't, someone at work, I forget who. And like, I didn't associate him with that. It's crazy.
Perfect food. This is a tough one. I have two.
If someone
on
takes
my
mine.
List, this is very hard.
If one of you take mine, I'm just taking it anyway.
This is very tough. I'm going to go with just a classic Chicago Italian beef. I think it's a perfect food. I think it's got spice. It's got good bread. It's juicy. The meat's great. It's a good American slop sandwich. It's just a good Italian beef from Chicago. Oh my God. Fucking. I think it just rocks your world. There's another one that's a local thing for where I grew up, which not taking it's tough, but I don't know. I think my favorite food, I don't eat it often because an Italian beef will put you in a fucking coma.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take a good Italian beef. I'd put Philly cheesesteak up there as well. Good from D'Alessandro's. It's a good place in Philadelphia or on the suburbs.
I'm just going to say it.
Be great.
I was in Philly this last weekend, and I always get my cheesesteaks from the same place, Little Sicily's too. Get the Indian chicken cheesesteak. It's Indian spiced beef and or chicken, depending on what you want. It's the best cheesesteak I've had in Philadelphia. And I've had all the big ones. Little Sicily too. That's the place to go.
Stonehouse pork is pretty great.
Can't be better than the one that Bradley Cooper made for me 2 weeks ago.
I promise you it's better. One made by Elephant Man.
He's a big Lee's Hoagies guy for those from the Philly area. He loves Lee's.
Can you imagine it? What would you think he would do if you said that to him? Like, hey, Bradley, I loved you in Elephant Man. Like, what do you think he would do? Would he do the thing?
He'd
like
love that.
He'd love that.
Dude, I mean, he is the biggest theater nerd there is.
I loved you an Elephant Man, dude. And he's like, yeah, I don't need to wear prosthetics. I'll just like, even though I'm the most a beautiful man, I'll just slightly turn and everyone will be like, oh yeah, he's the Elephant Man. It's all covered in tumors and everything. My light turned off. My food, I'm gonna do the food that I eat the most. It's the one I order the most. It's the one I make the most, I think, too. I would say if I had to do like a lifetime tally of which dish I've eaten the most, it would be this, and it's chicken Caesar salad, baby. Chicken Caesar salad is my number one meal. I've eaten this more than
I'm eating one after this. That's not what I thought you'd pick, though.
I've eaten it more than anything else. I think it's a perfect meal. I could eat it every single day for the rest of my life and not even blink twice. It is grilled chicken over Caesar salad. I know it's not like it's some sort of crazy health benefit to you or anything like that, but it's also, there's way worse things for you out there, like Italian beef. No offense. Love Portillo's, all the great stuff there. But it is chicken Caesar salad. I could eat it. I've literally gone weeks where I eat just that for lunch every day, and sometimes for dinner too. And that's totally fine with that. And I will say, in my ideal world, no hot dogs involved. Although sometimes hot dogs do, if you don't have any chicken and you have a salad kit, you have to make hot dogs Caesar salad. That has happened to many people, not just me.
Listen, I'm a hot dog defender, as you'll find out in my next pick.
Hot dog?
No, I'm taking a Skyline Coney.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, baby. Perfect. Got it lined up Thursday morning, I'm going. Second it opens. Oh, cannot wait.
I would fuck that up in the dozen.
Yeah, I mean, I like him too, but it's a local guy. I have local stuff for me. I thought about New Haven Pizza, Sally's, Rosita's Al Pastor in Austin, their breakfast tacos, all their shit, their tortillas. Hey,
you know what I almost did pick? And I have it written down. Taco Bell's AM Crunchwrap.
Pretty good.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
McDonald's fries are perfect.
I There's think this. Fries more perfect. I think Checkers fries are more perfect than McDonald's fries in every way.
I think they let their foot off the gas a little bit these past 20 years, and there's some other fast food chains that have caught up.
Ray Kroc's dead. What are you gonna do?
literally.
I mean, Popeye's Cajun fries better than McDonald's fries.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're so soggy.
Soggy.
I think it depends. The same thing with some other ones.
Perfect, simple. By the way, I had the best dessert of my life recently. The restaurant's mediocre. It's called Bad Roman. It's in New York. It's like a TikTok spot.
Yeah.
It's in Columbus Circle. They do have, though, a lemon cheesecake. It's like the shell looks like a lemon, and there's cheesecake in the middle, and then it's all crumbles at the bottom, and you kind of like, it is unreal. But a Dairy Queen soft serve cone is pretty perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right up there.
No matter where you go, for the most part, Dairy Queen's pretty good about making sure that that cone is perfectly sculpted. Like I went recently when I was home in Austin, and the guy behind the counter, he was clearly new, and he was very upset that he did it. And I was like, I don't care, just make another one. His manager yelled at him because it wasn't like a little lopsided, they got like a little swirl. When they pump out a good cone there, oof.
It's got like this perfect level of chub on it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to explain it. It's like the same perfect level of chub on every single amount of their every single one of their cones. Honestly, Blizzards too, are right up there.
Oh yeah, have you guys had the lemonade from Panera, the one that kills people?
No, did you see the Trump thing about
not
it?
Yet.
Yeah, very funny. Very funny.
Oh my
funny.
God, it was hysterical. That was one of this. Oh, so funny.
perfect.
So that is it good? I've heard food. It's actually good, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. I got to try it. I don't like Panera, though. Panera's like hospital food.
Neither do I. That's fucking stinks.
Not a fan. The bread bowl is... What a fascinating concept. I mean, I eat a lot of garbage, but the bread bowl is like...
Duncan used to do something like that. Do you remember? Except it was NOS.
Duncan.
Duncan used to do a thing. It was called like the Energizer or some shit. And it was like NOS with syrup. In a Dunkin' Donuts like large ice cup coffee. I remember we were advertising with it right when it came out, and I was like, I don't know about this, and I drank it and I was wired. It was so much sugar on top of the caffeine. It was crazy.
I'm obviously a Whataburger stan, but in terms of like locally, I haven't eaten a ton, but now that I'm near In-N-Out, like, and I was in Austin, there's a lot of In-N-Outs in Austin. Fresh, like, I'm not a big, like, I don't like love In-N-Out when you bring it home, but you get it fresh right there when it's off. That's all those fresh grades. Pretty fucking great, I gotta say.
Their fries better than McDonald's?
It's so cheap. It's like dirt cheap still. Also, Wendy's Nuggets, pretty damn good.
Oh,
we're talking perfect item.
Wendy's Nuggets right up there. The Cheesy Gordita Crunch, I would also argue, is a perfect food item.
Every now and then, Taco Bell will re-up their like new items or the one I don't. They got the right now. They got the double decker bean taco. I don't like that. That
stinks. I got really mad. I got really mad like 2 weeks ago when that was their
the fact they've never brought back the grilled stuff nacho since we've been doing this podcast. Yeah. Shame.
They did bring back the snack wrap at McDonald's finally, which is one of their better. Yeah,
2025. Did you see that?
What is? Oh, I thought it was within the next year.
No, 2025.
Everyone else has a snack wrap right now. Burger King has one. Wendy's, everyone has one.
It's a tortilla. It's chicken. It's lettuce. It's cheese and mayo or whatever.
It's all the stuff they already have, except for the tortilla. It's just sourcing tortillas.
What is there to figure out? I don't understand. Perfect sports thing. Gooch. Last thing.
Well, there haven't been a lot of great sports things in my life. Not a lot of perfect things. So I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals helmet. It is a perfect sports thing.
Which one?
The orange one. Classic.
Well, their white one is really sick, I think. I don't know.
People really do love the white uniforms. I still haven't come around on them, to be honest. I just like that. I love the orange. I love it. It's distinct. The Bengals helmet, kind of, 1A.
I don't know. For me. I think the white's cool.
Can be.
For mine, it's kind of similar. I don't have a lot of great sports moments to look back on. I'll do a more meta thing. Yeah, I'll do a more meta thing. I'll just say the slam dunk. There is no such thing as a bad slam dunk. Every slam dunk is perfect. The slam dunk is the perfect sports thing. There is no better sports. Because, like, when have you ever watched a slam dunk and was like, oh, that thing stunk? Like, no, it's like every dunk is either good to excellent.
And the bad ones are funny, at least.
Yeah, I was going to say those dunks that, like, your friends first start getting up in, like, eighth grade, freshman year, when it, like, they can just kind of get the ball over, and it, like, just ugly as fuck. The ball is hitting the front of the rim and then, like, bouncing in. Those are ugly. But, yeah, no, full slam dunk for grown adult, hard to beat. All those great Phoenix Suns Chargers memory.
I'm like, not even going with like
Tom Chambers, one of the greatest dunks ever.
I don't have. I guess I have more than you guys do because I am a UConn basketball fan. But I could go 2016 Cavs finals. I'm going generic. First day of the NCAA tournament is perfect.
Yeah,
it's a perfect sporting event. It's just incredible.
None of that round zero shit either. Whatever the fuck.
No. Well, I don't know. I kind of fallen in love with the.
It was good last year. They did a couple good ones last year.
They're usually pretty good games. There's usually at least two good games there. I don't know. Like it's I have no problem with it. I love the tournament though. First day of the tournament. You know, it used to be perfect, which is not perfect anymore, is the NFL draft. The NFL draft used to be great. The NFL draft has lost a lot of its lust, in my opinion. It's just not quite
too long
what it used to. It's too long. It used to be so concise and perfect, and now it's too much of a show, and it kind of loses the fun a little bit. So yeah, that's that. That's it. Pretty good drafts there. Some pretty good things. Now I'm just hungry though.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm thinking about going out to T-Bell right now.
I just had sushi too. Just ate.
They gotta get rid of the. They gotta get rid of the bean thing though. It's just not the best. It's just not a great limited time item. The slapping beans on the outside of the taco. We can do better than that.
Oh,
that's it. Thanks for listening to this podcast for 6 years, 6.5 years. We're still around, so it's not like we're leaving the company or anything. Just
still doing movie stuff.
Choosing different mediums. Yeah. Read the blog. We're going to definitely start doing more on like short form stuff and just kind of refocusing the energy and the effort to the right places where it can be successful. Again, if you're upset, Matt, I do totally get that. But I as always, I got to remind you, it is a business. We tried our best we plateaued. We tried our best to kind of move it up the mountain. It worked very minimally this time. And then you're like, it needed to kind of work faster for it to be worth it. So thanks as always for listening. It's been a good run. Go listen to the old episodes. The only place you can find Trill Ballin still. All the old episodes.
It's
pretty much scrubbed off the internet other than that. So just remember that. Is that it? Anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it. Like Kendrick said, thank you so much. For Ken, Jack, and Gooch, I'm Jeff D'Lo. We'll talk to you somewhere down the road.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
It's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48. Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.
We had help.
On August 21st...
We have a stowaway.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
Shine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America, and once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.